Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Lisa Grote, Senior Behavioral Health Specialist from the Domestic and Sexual Violence Services Clinical Services Team. Now, I mentioned Domestic and Sexual Violence Services. You'll probably hear us refer to them as DSVS, just because it's easier. She is with us today to talk about DSVS and Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is the month of October, as well as healthy relationships and what it takes to craft a healthy relationship. So I'm definitely interested in that topic. Lisa, thanks for being here on the podcast with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's start with the obvious topic, which is October. It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. What does that mean, and why is it important to have a recognition in a specific month for that topic?
Well, domestic violence is something that affects everyone. It's all socioeconomic classes, races, ethnicities. If you haven't experienced yourself, you know someone who has, and you may not know that you know someone who has, but I can guarantee that you do. And actually, the county is getting a little bit away from, we used to program more activities for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and now we're trying to spread it over the whole year because it's too important to just talk about once a year. But we still like to, you know, bring awareness to it in October. But it's definitely something to think about all year round.
Yeah, like I said, domestic violence doesn't just happen in October. It is a year-round problem, unfortunately. But I guess it does help to, like, raise awareness, to have some focus on it during a particular time. Are there any myths or misconceptions when we're talking about domestic and sexual violence as we get into the topic of crafting healthy relationships a little bit later on? Myths and misconceptions when we think about domestic sexual violence?
Well, I have heard people think that, oh, that only happens with, you know, certain economic classes. Like, oh, Fairfax County doesn't have a problem with domestic violence because it's a relatively wealthy county. But no, that's definitely a myth. Or that it's only men who, you know, cause harm to their partners. You know, ADAPT, which is our program that works with people who cause harm, has classes for both, has groups for both men and women. So it's definitely something that happens, you know, all sexual orientations, genders, classes, races, ethnicity. It's universal, unfortunately.
So how can folks listening, if they know someone or, you know, have a family member who has been sexually or domestically violence, that type of thing, how can they offer support to victims? Is that the right word, victims of domestic and sexual violence?
Yes. Well, one thing that we want to make sure that you share with someone who's going through our 24-hour hotline, which is 703-360-7273. And we also have on our website, fairfaxcounty.gov. If you search under domestic and sexual violence, you'll find a lot of resources, for example, shelters, our counseling services that I'm one of the providers for that. And information on healthy relationships versus abusive relationships. But the most important thing is not to tell the other person what to do, because leave it, everyone, you know, says, oh, if I knew someone who's doing that, I'd tell them just leave the relationship. But that's obviously the most dangerous time. So it's something, it's a decision that only the person who's in that can take, because they're the one who are risking their life, perhaps, by leaving. So please don't tell the person you have to get out of the relationship. You know, if the other person wants that, definitely, you know, offer help to help them do that, but don't tell them what to do. And what unfortunately happens a lot is people get upset. Like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about the abuse, you know, and they actually, you know, if you're not going to leave them, you know, don't talk to me about it. And that actually, you know, puts a person in more danger, because it's important to, even though I know it's hard to hear someone you love talk about being hurt, it's important to keep that relationship going, because your support is going to be essential.
Right. Well, in some ways, it's probably therapeutic for them to maybe talk about it. While it's not really helping solve the situation, maybe it helps them in some way mentally, I guess.
Definitely. And to know that it's not their fault, and that, you know, you're there for them, and to offer them this. Because one of the, you know, speaking of healthy relationships, I think self-esteem is one of the most important prerequisites for a healthy relationship. If you don't value yourself as a person, you're unlikely to value your partner. That can lead to abuse. But also, if you don't think, you know, you're worthy, you're vulnerable to being abused. So I think, you know, and healthy relationships are something that builds our self-esteem. So I think that's very important to get that support.
Okay. Talk about self-esteem. We'll transition into this healthy relationship idea and how to craft them and build them and make them better. But are there warning signs for the person that may be being abused to say, oh, this is happening, maybe I am a victim? Because sometimes, I guess, you don't realize, unless it's physical abuse, you do realize. Or, and the second part of that question, family and friends, warning signs or things they can look for. Are there any?
There are a lot. We call them red flags, yes. So two of the main ones are jealous and controlling behavior by a partner. And particularly with young people, but also not necessarily with young people, some of the, you know, initial stage of relationship, you've heard of love bombing, things that seem like, oh, they love me so much, they're texting me every second, you know, they want to be with me all of the time, they don't want me to be with my friends because they want me to spend all the time with them. They see that as, oh, they love me so much, but that's actually a red flag. In a healthy relationship, your partner allows you to have other friendships, to have your own interests, to spend time apart from them. So someone who wants you all for themselves, that's not a sign of, oh, they love me, that's a sign of control. So you want to be careful about those obsessive textings. And if you don't respond to a text in 5 minutes, they get angry. What are you doing? You know, why are you, who are you talking to? Other red flags, someone who speaks negatively about their exes. If someone, all of their exes were crazy, might be a red flag that maybe actually it's this person who is abusive, and that's why everyone else has left them. You know, they're, many red flags about, you know, if they don't respect your boundaries, you know, if you say no, if they keep pressuring you, that's a huge red flag. There's so many red flags. But the two main, I think, are, you know, if there's not respect, if they're controlling and jealous, and if you ever feel unsafe, that you're worried about making this person angry, if I express an opinion that doesn't agree with theirs, you start hiding your authentic self. You feel you can't be yourself because the other person won't like that. That's a huge red flag.
Yeah. And I will interject here, if you do feel ever in danger, call 911. Obviously, the hotline is there 24/7. But if it is truly a life-endangering situation, call 911. A 24-hour hotline, by the way, 703-360-7273. So we talked about a lot of the red flags that folks are looking for. I'm assuming the green flags, is that the right color to say? Okay, green flags are what we're going to be talking about when we're talking about crafting a healthy relationship. Before we go deep dive, how would you tell a listener right now, or tell me, what is a healthy relationship? How would you define that?
I think it's one where you feel safe, where you can bring your authentic self to the table. One, and some of these are getting into green flags, it's mutually supportive. Each support each other, but yet, you know, they support you, as I said, having other relationships and interests. There's accountability. If someone does something wrong, they don't blame their partner for it. They apologize and not just apologize, but actually change their behavior, which is the key factor there. There's honesty. There's trust. There's equality. So, and not just equality in that, you know, not one person's doing all the housework, but equality, especially in decision-making. That's very important, that one person is not making all the decisions, that you talk about decisions and there isn't coercion or pressure for one person to give in to the other person.
Right. Mitch, I don't know if I mentioned, I think I did, the online article about healthy relationships. Yeah, I did, fairfaxcounty.gov, and just search for crafting healthy relationships. Why is it important for your organization to have that article online and talk about healthy relationships? Why is that so important?
I think it's very important because, unfortunately, it's not something that we teach as much as we should to, you know, our children. And not every child, unfortunately, is lucky enough to come from a home where healthy relationships are modeled for them. They may be exposed to domestic violence, or if it doesn't rise to the level of abuse, it may just be an unhealthy relationship. And generally, it's from the families we're born into, caregivers who model for us what a healthy relationship looks like. And if you don't get that in your home, you don't know the red flags. You don't know the green flags, because what's modeled for you, you think, oh, this is what a relationship is like, and it may not actually be healthy. So I think it's very important to know. And with reality TV, I think you also get a lot of, because they're looking for drama and yelling, and that's what gets viewers. And so people are, oh, it's normal for people to scream at each other and throw drinks in people's faces. And
right.
No, that's not. And we actually just did a podcast on Hollywood and how they, unfortunately, promote some unhealthy relationships as being passionate, when actually, no, this is unhealthy or this is abusive.
Right.
So I think we don't talk enough about healthy relationships in this society. And it's important not just to know red flags, but to know the green flags, to know what to look for, what are the good signs, as well as what are the danger signs.
Okay. We're going to get into those green flags here on the County Conversation Podcast with Lisa Groat. She is a senior behavioral health specialist from Domestic and Sexual Violence Services Clinical Services Team. So we're talking about crafting a healthy relationship. You mentioned some of the green flags or things that are in the healthy relationship a little bit earlier. I don't think we have time to cover every single one of them. So what are a couple of the key points you want to kind of highlight in the last few minutes that we have here in our podcast? Got about half our time left, so just kind of give you a gauge for how much time we've got.
Sure. Well, one of the most important green flags, I think, is healthy communication.
Okay.
And so there are different communication styles. What we, and we work in counseling, we work with clients on assertive communication. So that's not being passive, not being aggressive or passive aggressive, but assertive. So assertive communication, you express what you need and want in a way that doesn't, violate the other person's rights. So
dominating, because when you say assertive communication, I'm thinking, whoa, that's maybe going way too far.
No, that would be aggressive communication.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yes, aggressive communication is when, you're really good at expressing what you need and want, but you are doing it in a way that is hurtful to the other person. And so an assertive person, you're sharing your opinion and expressing what you want and need.
Stand up for yourself.
Yes, but you're not insulting, demeaning, yelling, intimidating, scaring the other person. And so that's what we promote is that healthy. And one of the easiest ways to do that is these I statements. So instead of saying, you did this, you say, I felt really, hurt when you didn't call me, and I had dinner prepared and you came late and dinner got cold. Instead of, you're so disrespectful. You always and never, because usually that's not technically true. Yes, probably not always 100% of the time. So instead of, and it actually helps your message get across, because defensiveness, it's a not natural response if you feel attacked. So if you start, you do this, or you attack someone's personality and character rather than their behavior, they're going to get defensive. And so you shut down. And actually, it's the prefrontal cortex shuts down. You go into fight, flight, freeze mode. And so you're not listening to the other person. So it's not, they're not going to
say as much as you want.
Exactly. They're not no longer listening. They're just, listening to respond, to defend themselves. So using I statements, it's better for the other person, but it's actually better for yourself, because you can maybe actually get your point across and get the other person to hear you.
Okay. All right. So touch briefly on communication. Again, don't have time to dive deep and go into a lot of, specifics on each one. Maybe a different time, different setting. So communication, check. We'll try to do better with communicating with our partner. I don't know if there's an importance list, but what will be the next green flag that we should make sure we have in a healthy relationship?
I think it's good for someone who has emotional regulation skills. So this
okay.
is someone who's...
Explain that to me.
Yeah, I know that's a fancy therapist talk. So that means you're able to manage your emotions, express your emotions, but in a healthy way. So if you're angry, not insulting the other person, screaming the other person, using violence against the other person or against objects, throwing things, slamming doors, but that you can express that using I statements, for example, but without, harming the other person. And if you do get so angry or so upset that you aren't able to have healthy communication, one thing we teach is take a break. So, and this is different from giving someone the silent treatment where you're stonewalling them, you're ignoring them, pretending they don't exist. That's actually, abusive behavior. This is just, taking like 20 minutes to go for a walk, listen to music, do something that brings that level, takes you out of the fight, flight, freeze, that defensive mode, so you're able to listen and reason again. I think that's very important to have those self-soothing skills, so that you are able to, express your emotions again without verging into abusive behavior, aggressive behavior.
Right. So if someone gets really angry and they're always at this level up here, yelling, screaming, just, making so mad, kind of thing. Any suggestions, any tips? I mean, what should the other person do?
Well, unfortunately, the other person cannot change another person's unhealthy, abusive behavior. That person has to be willing to work on themselves. So, for example, in abusive relationships, we don't recommend couples counseling because that can be very dangerous. And it's actually not helpful because abusive behavior is not a mutual problem.
Right, you're right.
It's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's caused by the person who's abusing their partner, who's causing harm in that relationship. So we have ADAPT, for example, which is our program for people who cause harm. A lot of people are court ordered into it, but you can refer yourself. Like if you notice that, hey, I'm engaging in behavior that harms my partner, you can take our, ADAPT groups and the county office discounts for people with lower incomes. And there are also anger management. So the difference, anger management is when it's not necessarily like a domestic violence. You just have in general trouble managing your anger. So, and there are also anger management classes, but with the county, we offer ADAPT, which is specifically for in relationships, family abuse relationships.
Okay. Since you brought it up, if someone was interested in ADAPT, where would they go? Online? Is there a telephone number? How would someone find out more?
Yes, exactly. They can go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search for domestic and sexual violence, and they'll see ADAPT. It's what, I don't like the name batter intervention program, but it is a certified batter intervention program. And it's actually, right now, they're changing the regulations, so they're actually expanding, taking it from, it used to be an 18-week program, and they're going to make it longer. So it's a great time of, evolving, and so it's a wonderful time of opportunity.
All right, so what's another green flag that we should have in any relationship?
Yeah, green flag, I think, boundaries, that each of you respects the other person's boundaries. And so boundaries can be like time. You respect the other person's time. You respect their emotional boundaries. So you don't, for example, discount people's emotions. If someone's sad, you're not like, oh my God, you're so hysterical, or you're always, making a big deal out of nothing. We validate people's emotion. Even if we don't maybe agree with their point of view, because emotions are never wrong. We can express them in unhealthy ways that are not okay. But the emotions themselves, you have a right to feel how you feel. And so, respecting someone, emotions is very important. And consent is huge. That's a big part of boundaries. Particularly, we talk about consent a lot in sex, and it's extremely important, but also in other areas too. Again, not pressuring people, coercing people, making sure you have enthusiastic, voluntary consent for anything, that you're not controlling the other person. So I think boundaries are crucial, respecting and have your own boundaries, and noticing when they're being violated too.
Keep going. Tell me more green flags.
More green flags. Honesty is important. So infidelity. Yes. Infidelity, of course, is a huge, thing that happens in an unhealthy relationship, you lying to your partner. And you don't have to share everything. Like, it's okay to, have privacy in a relationship. And so, I think it's an unhealthy thing, when you demand to see their cell phone, like, you must, and you monitor your social media. That's a sign that, okay, this is not a healthy relationship because there isn't trust. That's another green flag, is that you trust each other. And that the other person isn't doing something that gives you reason not to trust them, like if they've cheated on you, for example. So I think honesty, but yet having the right to privacy too.
Okay. About a minute left. Any final green flag that you haven't brought up that you feel like it's important to mention at this point?
I think the most important thing is, honestly, safety is that you do feel safe in this relationship, not just physically, but emotionally safe. I think that's very important in any relationship. Trust your instincts. If part of you, if when you spent time with this person, you come away from it feeling worse about yourself. Oh, you know, I'm not good enough, or I need to be more, I need to work on myself, you know,
right,
to deserve this other person. This person is so much better than me, you know, because they're constantly putting me down. That's the sign.
Yeah. Maybe the hairs on the back of your neck start tingling a little bit. I don't know. You know, everybody has a different, you know, tell or something, you know, happens and it's like, oh, okay, maybe I need to step back for a minute.
Yeah. And gratitude, too. I would throw that in. Like, in any healthy relationship, it's important to appreciate each other and to be grateful for the little things that you do. There's a 5-1 ratio that we talk about in healthy relationships, that you should have 5 healthy interactions for every negative interaction. And it can be a healthy interaction, like a positive interaction could be something like, you know, a hug, or, oh, thank you so much for, you know, finding my keys for me, or whatever it is, the person. So that's considered the magic ratio, is trying to have 5 positive for every 1 negative interaction.
Oh, okay. All right. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's a problem, unfortunately, all year round, but we're shedding some light on domestic violence awareness during the month of October. As we wrap here, the final few seconds, what do you want listeners taking away from our conversation today?
One is that there is help if you're not in a healthy relationship, and I'll throw it in again, our 24-hour hotline.
I was going to ask you.
Yes, 703-360-7273. And just that, you know, it's something that can be learned. If you didn't grow up in a household where healthy relationships were modeled for you, it is something that, you know, you can learn about and you deserve it. And you can achieve that even if you didn't have that as a child. And so, you know, counseling, free counseling through the county is available for people who were exposed to domestic violence as children, for example, or who have been in, you know, abusive relationships or been the victims of sexual violence. We're here to help.
Yeah. And again, that healthy relationship article is online. Just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search Crafting Healthy Relationships, and it should just pop right up. Lisa, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks to Lisa. Thanks to you for joining us on this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County. As well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.